A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven,
concentrate
on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 308. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion about the cloning of Joanna May. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
This was a production in 2 90-minute episodes from ITV in early 1992, and it was based on Faye Weldon's novel, also called The Cloning of Joanna May, and maybe the only series that we've looked at that is about human cloning.
Yes, I'm surprised that it hasn't cropped up elsewhere on British TV. I was struggling to think of examples, but maybe our listeners will be able to suggest some to us, Brian, when this episode goes out.
Yes, we've certainly seen things about genetic technology and human-animal hybrids, and we've seen things about androids and the like that sort of play with the idea of something looking very much like a person or even a specific person, but not much actually about cloning.
No, it's strange, but there we go. So let's move on with the plot. As we'd got to last time, the actual 3 clones of Joanna May have been revealed. As we said, there were 4 in the book. We do learn that they attempted 4 clones in the TV series, but one of the pregnancies failed. Now, I wondered, Brian, if that was maybe because they couldn't find a 4th actress, or maybe they just liked the idea of 3 clones, especially with the 3 women having some sort of mystical significance as the plot progresses.
Yeah, 4 may have seemed like too many to have in a drama put together this way. I don't know.
Okay, but anyway, so once they're revealed, Carl May basically lures them away from their previous lives, which are namely as a fashion model, a software engineer, and rather unfortunately, an abused wife. And he takes the 3 clones from their lives and invites them to his palatial stately home, where he will make his proposition to them. Who will become Carl May's new love, new worshipped woman?
It is quite a bizarre thing that this character Carl May is doing, that he has decided that Joanna May is the only woman for him, but at this point he wants the younger version of her and the version that hasn't done all of these other things, cheating on him and so on. And he's sort of created these clones to provide for this. It's quite bizarre as a thing for someone to do, but that is sort of how they've described this character and built him up.
It is very strange, actually, why he's produced these clones, because I think it is fairly clear he could have Joanna May back in a way, but yes, he wants the younger version, and he's got 3 to pick from. And we do get these rather weird scenes of him watching the clones on his television screens. So there is some sort of strange stuff going on with Carl May. As you said last time, Brian, he's not really a likable character at all.
No, he really isn't. And as this is going on, the launch day for this new nuclear power plant is approaching. And this is this big celebrated thing that he is working on and his whole team is working on.
Yes, that's right. And this is heading for another one of the differences from the book, because as Carl May keeps telling the assembled press, he believes nuclear power is safe and there's no danger of any leaks of radioactivity or any problems with radioactive waste. And he is planning a publicity stunt at this big family funfair, free-for-all sort of publicity day, along with the glamorous Bethany. And I think in the book, there was much more to do with actual radiation, but without giving it away, there's a sort of strange almost fantasy, mystical element, as I've hinted at, about his fate in the TV series.
Yes, and we definitely have this idea that Carl May and Bethany are planning this sort of celebration and party and sort of funfair publicity event surrounding this nuclear power plant being opened, which is perhaps an idea that was of its time, but is also interesting in how it's showing the enormous ego of Carl May.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, his ego is fully on display right from the first moments of this show through to the strange conclusion. So we talked a little bit about the science of this particular series and the implications of human cloning. And I suppose, Brian, it almost goes without saying now that television and indeed film and novels of science fiction tend to reflect society's fears of the time period. And as we know, I guess from the aftermath of the world's first test tube baby in 1978, but also in the 80s, we had all the developments of the Human Fertilisation and Embryology Act over here in the UK, which we know has impacted on other shows that we've watched. So clearly it was troubling writers in the early 90s or through the 80s that the implications of reproductive technology, embryology research, and of course, as we said, you know, could there be human clones?
Yes, there were all these developments in technology and potential developments in technology. And the implications really weren't that clear. So you had a lot of interesting room for fiction to explore those things. We discussed the 1980s series First Born on British Invaders 279 and 281 about a year ago. That was a 1988 show from the BBC that dealt with human-animal hybrids.
That's right. Yes, I remember that one. As we said, that was the Charles Dance with his strange, dare I say, ape baby that he sort of adopted, or rather had adopted by another family, I think. And a year before Joanna May, ITV had been investigating this field again with another show we've covered on British Invaders, Chimera. That was way back on episodes 258 and 259. As I say, it's a 1991 show which had a genetically produced creature sort of roam in the hills and dales of the north of England, as I remember, Brian, and causing all sorts of panic and consternation along the way.
Yes, that's right. Sort of some similar ideas to what Firstborn had done a few years earlier, but going in a quite different direction with them.
And I've just checked the date. The Human Fertilisation Embryology Act in the UK was 1990, Brian. So it is all about this sort of time, those shows just before that, and then the two ITV shows just after it.
So all of this discussion would have been going on with those things being produced and coming out. And then Faye Weldon was writing this novel, The Cloning of Joanna May, and it was produced as this television production right around then as well. Although certainly the TV production is much more interested in the conflict between Carl May and Joanna May than it is with the actual cloning and the implications of the cloning.
Yes, I suppose that's fair in a way. I guess that stuff just looks more appealing on screen, is, you know, relationship and conflict is much more to do with story than perhaps staring down microscopes at little pink cells, I guess, Brian.
Yes, I suppose so. We do get Ian McNeice's character, the doctor who did the cloning procedure in this show, explaining first why the clones were not exactly clones, which seemed a little bit odd, but then when he's talking to the clones themselves and describes what he did for the cloning procedure, I thought that explanation was actually pretty good.
Yes, at least he does get to explain it a couple of times, and as you say, the second one perhaps makes a bit more sense, although the first one was just a little bit of babble as to why the three women don't look identical to each other. Or the four women, in fact. So, yes, interesting. But perhaps, you know, I'm curious as to why TV hasn't explored human cloning perhaps more. And as I said, maybe our listeners will correct me on this and point me to shows where it has been discussed. I know, you know, in the last 25 years or so, Brian, there's been the occasional rumour around the world. I believe there's been books written about the idea that human cloning has actually happened somewhere in the world, but it's none of that is confirmed. And I guess, you know, our listeners like ourselves, Brian, we probably keep up with a fair amount of science and technology news. So if we're reflecting the fears of the times, maybe the next work of fiction will be about, dare I say it, a CRISPR baby.
It could well be, yes. And of course, it is worth mentioning in recent years, there was a TV series that explored cloning quite a bit, and that was Orphan Black. Which was a Canadian series that did run on BBC America, but it was a Canadian production, and that was an exploration of that. But we haven't seen too many shows doing that, and certainly we haven't seen very many coming out of British television.
Now, that's interesting. Orphan Black is one you've mentioned to me several times, Brian, which I've never had the time to actually watch. But yes, that's where it's been done, in Canada.
So we should get into some of our own thoughts a little more than we have. Eamon, what did you like about the cloning of Joanna May?
Well, it's clearly a very impressive production with a good budget. It looks great. I guess, as I've said, they were trying to reproduce the acclaim and success of their earlier series, The Lives and Loves of a She-Devil. So in terms of the, you know, the look, the filming, the sets, the location work is all great. And of course, as we've said, Brian, it does have this terrific cast. All these great names, such as Patricia Hodge, Brian Cox, I'll mention Billy Whitelaw, but I'm sure we'll want to point out, you know, that Peter Capaldi's in there as well. But all these great actors. So in terms of the sort of production values, the performances, pretty great throughout. What about yourself? What stood out to you for the series?
I would say the cast and the performances are number one here. Everyone in this played those roles with conviction, and they had not only well-known people, but some very good actors in here. So the cast and the performances really sort of added a lot to this show, I think. And in terms of the look and the feel, I think it all worked well.
Okay. I perhaps should mention that even though it's a show from 1992, when we get to the costumes, it is very 80s looking, sort of late 80s fashions. The one clone who's a fashion model, but the clothes that the clones wear when they come to the stately home, the way that these sort of dresses and gowns that Carl May has provided for them, it's extremely 80s. It does look at times a little bit like maybe they're on the set of a Spandau Ballet or a Duran Duran pop video at times.
Yes, there is some of that. And this is getting into... I certainly had a number of issues with this show that I struggled with. And I think the biggest one is that Carl May himself is this quite horrible, absolutely repugnant character. And I'm not sure if he was intended to seem quite as bad as he does looking at it now.
Yes, he's just a monster, basically, isn't he?
Yeah.
He is a terrible character. I mean, perhaps ruined by his awful childhood. But yes, he's a strange character, and quite what he wants with the clones... and what his intentions are. I mean, if we just explore this backstory just a little bit, Brian, if I've got this right, presumably he took the clones, or he took the embryos from Joanna while they were still together, before she had her affair and they broke up.
That's right, yeah.
So from that, I have to presume, like you suggested earlier on, that what Carl May is interested in is not Joanna May as his companion as he grows older with her, but actually he wants the younger version. He wants younger versions on hand. And that seems to be the choice that he offers the clones when he brings them to his home, one that they perhaps seem to reject, and they sort of go on to this strange sort of mystical influence over him. But yes, I didn't know whether he was trying to torment Joanna, but it seems more likely he's just trying to replace her, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was very strange, and he is constantly sort of abusive and bullying. And then when we get to see the clones, it's interesting to see them as characters. And then we get to see them reacting to him after he's left the room, and he watches them on cameras and stuff. And they seem to be sort of bullying kind of characters in an odd way. So, you know, for no apparent reason, they're, you know, sort of oddly nasty as well.
Yes, it is a bit peculiar. And of course, we should also mention that I've noted the sort of male gaze aspect of this production, particularly with Carl May and his banks of televisions, which he spies on the clones as they're getting undressed and dressed in the clothing he's chosen for them. And of course, we get, as I said, quite a bit of Bethany in the bath. I suppose on the other side, we do get to see Brian Cox himself in his swimming trunks. So there is a... There is some equality there.
Some, I guess. I don't think there's that much.
Yeah.
But one of the things that was sort of the surprise in here that was sort of positive in it was the character of Bethany and Siri Neal's performance, where she starts as, you know, the sort of eye candy, getting back to that male gaze issue, that both within the show, she is there as, you know, the good-looking PR person to have standing, you know, to have standing there with Carl May and press announcements. And she's there as his mistress. And it's also like she's part of the show for being able to show lots of skin and that sort of thing. But as the show develops, we get so much more from her, and she's actually manipulating Carl May and is doing much more. And there was a moment where she sort of admits to being a bimbo talking to Joanna, I think it was, who says afterwards, "No one who calls herself a bimbo is actually a bimbo." And the way that was played with, I thought, was quite nice. But it was one of the few sort of character things that was sort of interesting and had a bit of weight to it, I thought.
Yeah, that's fascinating, actually, Brian, because actually, on the other side of the equation, Joanna May herself is not terribly sympathetic.
She really isn't.
No, she just seems to spend a lot of time sort of spying on Carl or sort of moaning to her friends about what's happened to her and the fact that she's been cloned without her consent. And it's strange how Bethany, who I assumed when I first saw her on screen was only going to be in that opening sequence as the eye candy on the rich man's arm in front of the press and the photographers, but actually as the show progresses she has lots of interesting things to say. And at the end of the show, when the clones have started to act in a strange fashion themselves, I mean, obviously, I, you know, we've got sympathy for the clone who was stuck in an abusive marriage and is sort of rescued from that by Carl May. But apart from that, once they're in his sort of domain, they become a bit weird themselves. And it's only Bethany at the end that we sort of feel, or that I felt sort of sympathetic towards. So it's a remarkable bit of acting, I guess, from Siri Neal to make this sort of strange, as we say, almost bimbo character actually is sort of interesting and appealing and sympathetic.
Yeah, and as mentioned, the acting here is generally solid, but these characters and how they were written are just kind of strange and not sympathetic and not really, you know, characters that we want to see for the most part.
Okay, so it's clear that we've had both had some issues with this particular show, Brian. Was there anything else about it that you wanted to mention, either in the plus or minus columns?
I thought it was also a little bit strange how unlike each other the clones look. They're actually quite different. They don't look at all identical. And I'm sort of okay with being asked to ignore that, but the way it was done seemed a little bit odd, and the way they mentioned it to try to explain it away was even more odd. So that was kind of strange how we had clones that were not clones. That didn't entirely work for me.
Yes, I suppose it's one of the difficulties of a TV production. You know, they found similar looking actresses who've clearly got similar hair color as well, though that whether some of that is dye or wigs, I don't know. But anyway, but they're clearly not identical, and they have to do some hand waving to sort of explain that. But it's a bit weird. And as I say, once they've moved beyond the sort of Carl May's offer, what happens with the clones is all a bit strange, and they've almost become this sort of mystical trio. I won't say it's witchcraft, but there's a sort of witchy feel about them with what then goes on to happen in the conclusion.
Yeah, the story of this in some ways seemed a little bit slight. And I think that maybe the transition from book to screen didn't work quite as well in this case as it does in some. They did some interesting things, but overall the plot and the characters were not quite compelling enough.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. You know, the plot seems a bit strange. It doesn't know what to do with the clones once they're revealed, and the characters are not sympathetic or interesting enough to sort of keep us compelled. You know, maybe a show about Bethany and the clones might have been better, but there you go.
Yeah, what saved this for me and made it sort of reasonably enjoyable was the performances almost across the board and the journey that Bethany has in it.
Okay, anyway, sort of interesting stuff, you know, perhaps not the perfect discussion of human cloning that we wanted. Maybe we have to look to Orphan Black for that, or maybe our listeners will have another suggestion for me.
Yes, absolutely. I'd like to hear other suggestions. So we should get to our recommendations. Eamon, what would you like to suggest?
Well, I think, as ever, the tenor of our discussion, our listeners will guess that we're not going to be recommending the cloning of Joanna Mayer, or at least I'm not. I remember it from the 1992. I think I watched the first episode and wasn't taken with it, so I didn't carry on. And now I've watched the whole thing and I'm still not taken with it at all. I mean, it is only £6.50 in the UK, but even so, I think that's possibly £6.50 too much. So I'm going to suggest no. Have a look out for Orphan Black. Tell me some more about that. Or maybe as this year goes on through 2019, when this show is going to come out, we'll find one or two other little gems to recommend to you instead, Brian. What about yourself?
I am not going to recommend this. I didn't hate it. It was okay. But yeah, it just doesn't come together enough. So no, I am not going to recommend this.
Okay. But if you disagree with our take on the cloning of Joanna May, please do drop by the Facebook group and let us know why. Maybe convince us otherwise.
Absolutely. It would be lovely to have that discussion. So, in summary, The Cloning of Joanna May tells the story of the relationship between Carl May and Joanna May, which was this marriage that fell apart with affairs involved, and Carl May being this sort of obsessive character who would not let go of Joanna May and continued to be interested in her years after the fact while he was with this other woman, Bethany. And Joanna May also seems to be obsessed and has been having him followed by a private eye for 10 years. And we see these sort of broken and estranged sort of relationships, and the obsession of Carl May and also the obsession of Joanna May. And Carl May has had these three clones of Joanna May, and we get them meeting Joanna herself, and all of this sort of moving towards a conclusion that will involve things at this nuclear power plant that Carl May has developed.
There. Now, your explanation or summary, Brian, made more sense to me than the program itself.
There you go.
And do drop back and join us next time. We're going back in time by 10 years, sticking with ITV, looking at another of society's fears from the time, but this time explored through a comedy. We are looking at 1982 series Whoops Apocalypse. Some interesting nuclear comic potential to talk about next time, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. And possibly the first time we'll be discussing a show that features one of the members of Monty Python.
Ah, now we can start ticking off the pythons.
Yes, for sure. So until then, you can find us at BritishInvaders.com. Or if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our Facebook group where we have all sorts of discussions going on there, and hopefully we'll be able to talk a bit about The Cloning of Joanna May and some of these other shows.
Yes, if you've been affected by any of the issues of cloning, or have been cloned, or are a clone, please drop by the Facebook group and tell us all about it.
Absolutely, we'll look forward to that.
And check us out on the Voice of Geeks Network at voguenetwork.com, where British Invaders is a proud member of their network.
Yes, indeed. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, it's Eamon in England also saying thank you and signing off.